young, like a new moon rising fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Welcome back to the Golf Shop. Mark Greenhouse, Mike Fracina.
We're born free, baby.
We are born free. A little different. Good, way to upgrade, Cubby.
Yeah, that was nice.
All right. Joining us now, we have Long Drive. Hits it long way. Long driver, Jeff Crittenden. Jeff, welcome into the Golf Shop.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
All right. So, I got to ask you. I mean, I got to go right out of the
box. We're jumping right in, Jeff.
Yeah. I looked at the brackets, and man, is it a little disappointing to know that you bombed one 3-9-0 and didn't advance.
Yes, it does. But Jamie's Jamie's one of the best in the world. He caught a couple good ones and got a bunch. So,
man, you know, that was your longest of the competition to that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the best ball I'd hit. I hit it exactly the way I wanted to, threw it into the grid, let it run down.
So how was the grid out there? I mean, we've seen it's kind of jumped around a little bit in terms of where they've hosted it. Tell me about the grid, about the conditions. What'd you think of them?
I thought the grid was good. We didn't get to walk the grid or see anything about the grid before we competed. But overall, I thought the grid was good. It was fair. Left side was a little slower than the right side, so you had to hit it down the right side. Winds were into us most of the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Well, and last year you made the final, and this year you got knocked out, as we said, in the quarters. It was a funny thing because my very young daughter, 9-10-year-old daughter, wanted to watch every swing of this year's long drive, every one. And her only takeaway, Jeff, was that she wants to hit it like Critter.
That's awesome.
I know. It was outstanding. Her reaction to the competition and to you. We had a DVR because it's on late, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just fantastic. So thank you for a thrill in our household.
Well, great. I love that there's young fans of the sport. We keep the sport going.
All right, so we got to ask a couple questions around getting ready for events like this. What do you do to train? And tell us a little bit about the equipment differences between your driver and a stock driver that I would go down to one of the stores and get.
Well, the training part is I do a lot of I'm in the gym a lot, doing a lot of plyometrics, a lot of agility work, trying to stay fast as I can. Not necessarily big and bulky, but I might be too old for that anyway. but trying to be quick. I find that's the best for me and that's the only way I can stay quick as I can.
So what kind of exercises are you doing to keep quick?
I do a lot of medicine ball throws. I do a lot of box jumps. I do some strength training, but, I do a lot of side-to-side work, a lot of stuff I used to do playing baseball back in the day.
Yeah, Jeff, that was one of my questions, because you're the youngest of six, so I imagine you come from a very competitive household, and you played sports your whole life. Have you always leaned toward twitchy activities as opposed to, you know, being a long-distance runner?
Oh, yes. It's funny. The rest of my family is built to run long distance. I'm the only one not built to do that. But no, we were all, my brother was a pitcher. He threw in the 90s in high school. I was a hitter. I could hit. All fast twitch sports.
All right, so talk about the equipment. What's different between your driver and one that I go buy off the shelf? And you can represent whoever you want. I don't know who makes your driver, but let us hear who makes it.
Sure. MOI Golf out of Georgia makes my driver. I usually carry about 10 to an event. They're 6 degrees. And they're USGA legal. That we are. I have a 48-inch shaft from Matrix, made for House of Forge, long drive shafts. And the only thing different between yours and mine is 3 inches longer and probably 3 degrees less.
Now, has the equipment in long drive always been USGA legal?
No.
Okay.
No,
I mean, I thought that was new.
No. Up to about 10 years ago, you could go 52 inches, and we measure from like a club on the wall. Because when you bring 10 drivers, you can't put them in a USGA machine. So it measures from the on a wall, it measures 50 inches across.
Wow.
They can go up to about 48 and a half, but mine are 48, just the way the head's designed.
Yeah, and just give people an idea, because I've tried to swing a 48-inch driver before, mm-hmm. coming from like a 45-and-a-half-inch driver. It's a huge difference, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You just don't pick it up. The swing weight on the club, my clubs are around E6. So anyone who tries to hit them usually hits them low and right because of the weight of the club more than anything else.
Yeah, it's something that you just don't like hit 10 times and the 10th one you stripe it. It just doesn't work that way, does it?
Not quite. It takes a lot of practice with those clubs. When I'm hitting those clubs well, I take my 45-inch driver and snap hook it routinely.
Well, yeah. And we talk about, you know, club head speed. Is it true that smooth is fast as opposed to swing like hell?
They say my swing looks smooth, but I'm swinging as hard as I can.
Obviously there's got to be some level of timing in there as well.
Absolutely. I mean, there is. I mean, I think my swing looks more like a golf swing than a lot of others. But I come from a golfing background. I played golf for 3 or 4 years competitively out on the mini tours. Didn't do much. Won a couple events, but never made enough or play long enough to warrant going on.
All right, so when you put down the 48-inch driver and you grab the set of clubs to go play a $5 Nassau against your buddies, how hard is it to make that transition?
It's quite hard, actually. And a lot of time when I'm playing that $5 Nassau, I'll have the 40-inch driver in the bag and swing at about 80%, and I actually hit that straighter than the 45-inch driver.
Wow. So it's easier for you to just stick with the same club and just tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, because that's the one that I hit the most. I have the 40-inch driver in my hands at least a few times a week doing something.
Well, we're on with Jeff Crittenden, who just came back from the World Long Drive Championship, and he's out of Greensboro, one of our homeboys here. And you know, I'm curious. I mean, we've had Davis Troxler, one of your partners at the North Carolina Golf Academy, on the show. He came in and guest-hosted, in fact. And I'm wondering how you make the transition as an instructor from this, you know, this crazy swing that's required for World Long Drive to telling, you know, an 11-year-old to be in control.
And do people come in and say, show me how to hit it long?
Everyone comes in. I would say most everyone comes in for the driver. They all want to hit the driver longer, and they all want to watch me hit the driver, which is usually not good for golf lessons. Then they're swinging as hard as they can. It's all mechanics. My golf swing is all mechanic-driven and long drive, so I try and get them to do mechanics and get some fast twitch muscles moving to get some speed up.
All right, so what's the biggest fault that you see most amateurs making that you're working with? Give me kind of one or two of the top things that you see that most amateurs are doing wrong.
Swing path usually is one of the biggest things. Swing path is, for most of the people I teach, higher handicappers, the swing path is all from outside in. Then they can't use the body. The other thing is they see tension. People just want to grab that club so tight. And at that point, you can't do anything with it.
So how do you teach them to loosen that grip a little bit? I'm big into analogies and metaphors. I mean, is there a story you can tell? Do you stand there and deliver a nice haiku? I mean, how do you tell them to stop strangling the club?
Well, usually I take it back to any other sport they play. And any other sport, you don't hold it tight. Tennis racket, baseball bat. I wish I had a haiku. I just go back to some sport that they used to play. Everyone's played some sport, and then they realize, wait a minute, I didn't hold that tight, or the hockey stick or the lacrosse stick.
Well, you may be the wrong guy for me to ask this question of, because when I ask it of all of our instructors, I would really like to put together a movement in golf instruction to get people to understand that shaving, say, 5 strokes off their round is more important than gaining 15 yards on their drive. Are you the wrong guy to advocate for that?
No.
Oh,
no,
you believe in that?
Absolutely. I mean, the when I play golf and I'm hitting the 45-inch driver, I'm 10 yards longer than the people I'm playing with, 15 yards. I'm swinging at 75%. I'd rather see my students shoot 75 than shoot 85 but have 200-300-yard drives.
Yeah, so do you encourage them? How do you encourage them to try and take 4 or 5 strokes off their game? Do you try and get them to focus more on the short game as opposed to the long game?
Yes, I do. Everyone looks at me weird when I say that. But, we try and get them over the short game area as fast as they can, especially the ones that aren't looking for more distance but looking to improve their game.
Yeah, so we, you know, we just had on Jason Prendergast, the head golf professional down at Jackson Country Club, where they're playing the Sanderson Farms on the PGA Tour this week. And he was saying, you know, the guy that he thought would win that golf tournament is the guy that had a good wedge game. When you want to teach somebody about wedges, what do you think is most important? Is it putting spin on the ball? Is it angle of attack? Or is it getting your distance correct? What kind of things would you work on the wedges?
I would work on getting the distance correct by, you know, controlling the backswing. You know, if you can control the backswing, if you can get the distances correct, the spin rate should be there, unless you're getting way too steep. But usually if you can control the backswing, then you can control the spin.
So where are there more strokes to be gained for a high handicapper? Say somebody, I mean, even like 15 to 25, it's a big range, but let's say that range, is it from 150 to the green, or is it on the green with putting?
Oh, I would probably say 150 to the green.
Hmm.
Now, only reason I say that is putting for guys seem to come and go. You know, I teach a lot of putting, and I can take some strokes off, but if I can get them on the green, hitting the green from 150 yards regularly, I think they have a better shot at scoring.
Yeah, and speaking of putting, what do you think about, because I've actually started doing a little Jordan Spieth action where inside of 8 to 10 feet, depending on the putt, I'll start looking at the hole. What do you think about that?
My gosh, I used to teach that 10 years ago when I worked for ESPN. That was part of our putting drills. For
wow.
Distance control, so look at the cup and not look at the ball.
Hold on, Jeff. Hold on. Were you ever at Indianapolis at the Brickyard teaching this for ESPN during a race week?
I think I was one time. Yes.
Oh my gosh, you're the guy. I was putting and somebody came up to me. I didn't know it was the critter. Came up to me and asked me, you know, if I was a target-oriented athlete. Had I played basketball, lacrosse, hockey, whatever. And said, hey, when you get to about 4 feet, try letting your gaze go to the cup. And I did it. And I've been telling people about it. Even Hank Haney told me I was a moron. So it's and I'll be honest, and I think you and I could whip Hank Haney.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I used to work with Hank Haney back in the day.
Oh, my gosh. This is my putting evangelist right here.
That's
the critter.
That's why your daughter likes him so much. I mean, there's a past history.
Wow. Wow, I may have to sit down.
You are sitting.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I am sitting. Jeff, I'm having a moment here. This is amazing. Yeah. I mean, since I was doing that thing at the Brickyard with NASCAR, I've been telling people that. My buddies who played lacrosse with me, played hockey, whatever. I said, hey, you know, give this a try. And really, we had Hank Haney on the show, and I asked him about it. I said, does this philosophy hold water? And his answer was, well, nobody good does it. And I thought.
Yeah, you could tell it wasn't very recently. It was like middle of last year, right?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Spieth started doing it. So is it possible when you're, as an instructor, is it possible to encourage people to really adjust the way they play the game for their particular skill set?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I play with a guy on a regular basis who, his whole game, he's a 18 handicap, but his game is, he's a 5 handicap around the greens, but a 25 handicap off the tee to the green.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean, for me, I always say, you know, guys that are 15 to 20 handicaps would serve themselves in terms of a final score during a round is actually laying up a little bit more on par 5. I mean, if you can't consistently hit a 180-yard shot on the green, then why not break it down into 2 manageable shots, maybe 150 yards and a 30-yard pitch shot? If you really work more on your pitch shot, now you're on the green in 1-over regulation, giving yourself a chance for par. And more often than not, worst case is you're going to make bogey and you're going to be able to move on, whereas if you try to hit that 180-yard shot to the green, you're going to make double bogey, maybe more than you make par.
Oh yeah, I agree with that a lot. That's course management. Absolutely.
So, all right, so we're talking about your instruction. In the North Carolina Golf Academy up there in Greensboro, we're on the entire state of North Carolina. We go from the mountains to the coast. How does somebody come to you, and what can they expect when they come to you for instruction? Where does it all begin with you guys? I mean, now I just got to come visit the critter, but we can talk about that at another time.
Well, I mean, usually, you know, I don't even know how to answer that question.
Well, how do you do your initial analysis of a golfer? When they walk up, does it start with what they're wearing? Be honest.
No, well, maybe sometimes.
Okay,
but,
all right, so where does it begin? Where does the analysis begin?
Well, usually I have one, you know, usually I sit and talk to them for a while. What do they want? what are your expectations? What do you want to work on? And then go from there. Then I usually have them warm up, and if it's full swing, we throw them on the videotape and let them look at it and give them their input, my input, and see if we can come somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, if I see a picture of myself from behind, I might quit. and actually, that have you ever had somebody show up who's so bad you encourage them to take up tennis?
Not yet.
Wow. That hasn't happened. Okay.
That has not happened. No, it hasn't happened. I had a few. I wish I kept the video when I worked down in Florida. There were some swings that were so unique that I actually started keeping them on a VHS, if that tells you how long ago it was. And I wish I still had them. I don't have them anymore. And some of those people just don't understand the golf swing.
Yeah, unique is a kind way of saying it.
Yeah.
It's a bucket of yuck. Be honest.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, Jeff, I got to ask you one more question about long drive stuff. So what's next for you in long drive? Do you participate in things during the year, or how's your schedule look from a long drive perspective?
Well, next week I'm heading down to Mexico for the World Team event. Okay. And then there's another event in Atlanta to end the year off just before Thanksgiving. I do probably about 10 to 12 events a year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And how long do you think you'll keep going? You mentioned your age. We did not. How long do you think you'll keep going?
I will keep going as long as I feel competitive in the sport.
There you go. What about senior division? I think that's at like 45, right?
No, it's funny. I competed in a few senior events. If you turn 45 anytime during the year, a couple of events will allow you to compete in seniors. So I did compete in a few. I did well. Next year. Oh, yeah, my target next year is to make a run at the Open and Senior at the World Championships.
There you go. Well, Jeff, man, we appreciate you hopping on with us, and good luck next couple events.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.